Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And get prayed up for this conference. Be faithful. Invite folks. We don't mind if folks come from other churches this week and get revived. That's okay. Amen. Take it back to their place. That'd be fine. Just invite folks out. We'll have good preaching every night. By the way, you say, well, that'll make me awful tired to get up early. Well, that's a good tired. That's a good tired. You'll be able to catch up on all your sleep when you get to heaven. Really. Just be faithful. You realize by being faithful, you encourage others. Makes a difference when the place is full and when it's half full. I preach in a lot of churches during weeks where they have special meetings and they're half full. I mean, just half full. And you know, that's disappointing to the brothers and sisters that are there. It's an embarrassment to the pastor. Because it says the people haven't gone very far spiritually. And they're just there sometimes when they pick and choose their dates. God's got something for everybody, I believe. If you're faithful, God will bless us as a church together, too. Now, 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. Scripture says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The text this morning taken from verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I beg you this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, Lord God, please deal with hearts today. There's one here without Christ. Convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I pray they turn to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and be born again. I pray for believers, dear God, in a world that's longing to deceive us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would cling to the truth of the Word of God. Lord, because it's the truth, Jesus said, that would make us free. Have your way in our lives today, we pray, for we pleaded in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes it seems like the whole world is out to deceive us. As a matter of fact, I don't care if you read it in the paper, you hear it on the TV or whatever, that doesn't mean you can believe it. Matter of fact, a lot of times things are put in such a way, things left out, things added, so you really don't end up knowing what the truth is. TV commercials are put together. If you ever set up and watch any of those infomercials that have on TV and then get the product, you find it just doesn't quite work like it does on the TV. About the only thing they told that was the truth was the price, except they never told you the shipping and handling. Some of you remember back in the 50s. Now, we're going back a few years now. This would date some of us. But some of you remember the ads for Ivory soap. 99% pure. And the proof that it was 99% pure was that it floated. Now, how in the world that proves it's pure is beyond me. I've seen rotten wood float. But you know why it floated? Because inside the soap bar, there were millions of little tiny air bubbles. That's what made it float. It had nothing to do with it being pure. I read a story about a monastery in Europe where a visitor heard a monk claim that they had the head of the Apostle Paul. And the visitor said, oh, wait a second, I was at a monastery, and he pointed to another place. He said they had the head of the Apostle Paul. And the monk said, well, that's true. You see, this is the head when he was a boy. And now, if you don't get it yet, you need to think about it real quick, so I don't want you laughing when I get serious. Of course, many people have gotten those Nigerian emails. Talk about some rich guy who died and he wants the money to go to some good Christian works. And they've decided out of all the people in the world to trust you with that money. All you have to do is simply send them your bank account number. And they will deposit in your account $10 million, of which you'll be able to keep 2.5 of it. And they will use the rest of it. And a lot of people have tried that. only to end up becoming big losers. I read this week in an audio book, I read about the story of Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens, that great sprinter who ran in the 36 Olympics. But I was reminded again, as they spent quite a bit of time in there talking about the deceptions of the Nazi party and Hitler and the wickedness with which they killed people all the time, not only denying it, but saying that they were being fair to everybody. And it's amazing how even whole countries can be led astray by simply acts of deception. Now, some deceptions have only cost people money. Some, however, have cost people their eternal souls. People are so easily deceived, and it's for a number of reasons. Number one, we know that the devil is a deceiver. That's what he does. He was a liar and the father of it, the Bible says. But we also know that our hearts will deceive us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why if you listen to Hollywood's lies about follow your own heart, buddy, that'll get you into trouble. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The scripture says in Proverbs that it is a fool that trusteth in his own heart. But not only that, sin deceives us. The Bible warns us in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's amazing how many people end up getting hooked on drugs who thought it could never happen to them, that somehow they'd be different. How people that drink think somehow they'd never become a drunkard. It would never happen to them, only to end up losing their family, losing their jobs, losing everything that was precious to them. Several times in the Scripture, it warns us, let no man deceive you. And I want to look at those different areas that he covers this morning, because you're not to be deceived. You get deceived in these areas, and it could be to your detriment, not only in your walk on planet Earth, but it could be in detriment to your eternal destiny. As a matter of fact, that's the first one. First of all, let no man deceive you concerning salvation. Makes an interesting point in verse 7. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, this chapter starts out by telling us in verse 4 the definition for sin. Do you know what sin is? There's no doubt most of this world doesn't know what sin is, and it seems like a lot of churches today are turning a blind eye to what is sin. Somehow, some people have deceived many who claim to be saved about the truth of sin, and that is that God's definition of sin has never changed. It's the same that it's always been. There are actually some churches that believe that when Jesus died on the cross, the definition of sin changed. It's not the same anymore as it was back then. Even though we have clear proof in the Word of God, not just from this verse, but God still looks at sin just exactly as He has always looked at sin. Don't be deceived about this matter of salvation. You see, we've been encumbered about with many who have brought false gospels. Whether it be the Children of God of the 70s or the Moonies of the 70s and 80s or the Jim Joneses or the David Koreshes to the modern day apostates and the so-called grace movement, which is anything but. True salvation, I want you to get a hold of this, true salvation that takes you to heaven is not of works that you do. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But wait a second. James 2, verse 14 says that faith without works is dead. What does that mean? You see, the truth is, works do not bring about salvation. But salvation does produce works. And that's the whole point that he's making here. When he says in verse 5, and you know that he, speaking of Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, when you get saved, things change in your life. You become a new creature. And that's exactly what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not a matter of you making the change. It's a matter of you receiving Christ and He working the change in you because of the faith that you put in Him. Some people have this idea that, yes, He saved us from our sins, so it's all right to stay in our sins. But I remind you that Jesus warned us in Matthew 7:14, by their fruits ye shall know them. What do you mean? By their works, you get an idea of what they really are, whether they come from Him or whether they're not of Him at all. That's the point of this passage. Don't be fooled. Don't just think because you walked in a church and said a little prayer that that means you got saved. That little prayer doesn't save you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You put your faith in Christ, He saves you, and the Holy Spirit of God, through the work of regeneration, when He gives you eternal life, imparts to you His character, and now you have a new walk on the basis of what He does within you. That's His work. That's what salvation does. No wonder the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Get this. The evidence of things not seen. I can look down here at Michael Yu, and I look at Mike, looks like a nice guy, but I cannot see his faith. Just looking at him, I can't see his faith. You know, there are a lot of people that dress like he does, nice suit, nice tie, and they don't have faith. How can you tell he's got faith? By his works. His works simply demonstrate. But I can do the works he does and not have faith. Oh, that's true. You can try to fool people, but it'll eventually come out. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, matter of fact, look at it, verse 19, he makes a statement, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Keep your hand here and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, you come to the South. This week when I was preaching in Oklahoma at a church planters conference, and there were a lot of people there from the North, it's amazing. You go up amongst the Yankees, they're almost proud they're not saved. But you talk to anybody down south, everybody tells you they're saved. Now, they may spend their time at the bars most of the time or go down to the strip joints. They curse like sailors, but I've been saved. Now, I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. Somebody has deceived them. Somebody has lied to them. I want you to look at the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that God's definition of drunkards is not 0.8 on the scale. His definition of drunkards are people who drink. But now wait, let's not stop there. Go on to the next verse. And such were, circle that word, were. That's past tense. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm simply saying, you get born again. He makes you a new creature, and your walk is now different than it used to be. And if it's like it used to be, you need to check up whether or not you really got it. I don't know what people are thinking when they pray a prayer. Perhaps some people are thinking that when they pray their prayer, that the prayer is what's saving them. But if you're trusting your prayer, you're lost. You have to trust Jesus. You have to trust His finished work, His death, His burial, His resurrection for your salvation. That's the gospel message. Well, let's see. And some people doubt their salvation because they can't remember what words they pray. It's not the words that saved you. You don't find any two people in the Bible prayed the same words. Because it's not the words. Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You've got to believe right in here. People pray all the time in churches that aren't saved. It's who are you trusting? Are you trusting Christ? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Salvation's only in Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to me, down south here, there are a lot of people think they're going to heaven, and the truth is when that heart stops beating, they're going to wake up in hell just like the rich man did, being in torment. Your church can't save you. Your church works can't save you. Your Sunday school class can't save you. Your preacher can't save you. Your denomination can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. That's it. Let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by religion. Do all the religious works you want to do. Can't save you. Don't be deceived by some TV preacher says, you send me so much money, God will save me. No, I won't save you. You can add up all the good works you've done all your life. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ephesians 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Don't be deceived about salvation. Let me tell you, there are a lot of things you can be deceived about. You can be deceived about how to get baptized. There are some people that think that baptism is sprinkling. That's not in the Bible. The very word itself means to immerse, to dip, to put into. That's what the word means. Baptism is by immersion. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Some people get deceived though, and think that baptism is sprinkling. You can be deceived about that and still go to heaven. You can be deceived about tithing. Somebody says, oh, that's not important. You don't need to tithe. This is New Testament. It's different. Yet people tithe before the law, during the law, after the law. Jesus commended tithing. But you can be deceived about tithing and still go to heaven. But if you're deceived about what will take you to heaven, then, dear friend, you're not lost. You better have salvation right. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I've asked people, do you know if you die tonight, you go to heaven? Oh, yes, preacher. You mean you've been saved? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what happened. Oh, it was a few years ago, I went forward to church. And all people were praying, things were going on. And I felt this chill go through my bones. What's that got to do with salvation? Now, if you had a chill, bless your heart. If you got goosebumps, oh, praise the Lord. But a chill doesn't save you, and goosebumps don't save you, and they're not even evidence of salvation. I don't find anywhere in the Word of God where you've got to feel a certain way in order to go to heaven. Salvation is simply in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do you have him? Don't be deceived about salvation. Let me give you a second one. We also shouldn't be deceived concerning sin. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now notice, beginning, for instance, in verse... Well, let's start in verse 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Let me stop right there for just a moment. He says, you're a child of God, you're a saint. And by the way, church doesn't make saints. When he saves you, he makes you a saint. Now, you're a saint in position. You may not be one in practice. He's telling you you're supposed to be one in practice too. Isn't that right? Now, he says, look at these things are not to be once named among you. How many ex-military guys do we have here? All right, I'm sure, and I know we've got all the different armed forces here. We got everything represented here. I mean, we've got it all. When you join, they put you in a uniform. Is that right? What were you in there, Ken? You were in the Air Force. Now, would you have been in trouble if you'd have put on an Army uniform? Yeah, when you joined the Air Force, they expect you to look like an airman. But Terry, you were in the Navy. I imagine that you wouldn't want to be caught dead in an Army uniform. As a Navy uniform. I mean, there's no uniform like the Navy uniform. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. And you Marines, even though you're a Department of the Navy. I know the men's department of the Navy. You wouldn't be caught dead in a Navy uniform. And you know what? Your superiors expected you to look like what you were Not only that, they have rules for your action. There are things you're not supposed to do. You'll get thrown in the brig. Isn't that right? And you can even get drummed out of your area of the armed forces by doing certain things. There are certain things that in that uniform you better never do. Well, guess what? If you're saved, there are certain things you're never to do. It doesn't become the saints. God expects a certain lifestyle among you. Now, let me go on, because I'm just getting started on this one. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving a thanks. Now look at this. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean purchased person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now look at this. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I know we've hitched up about this false grace movement that's going on in this country that seem to think it doesn't make a bit of difference what you do. But they've got not just a problem with the book of Ephesians. They've got a problem with their entire New Testament. They have come up with a false doctrine of grace, a false definition of grace that undoes a great part of our New Testament teaching for believers. Sin is not to have a part in our life. And again, as I said earlier, his definition of sin has not changed. He talks about, because of these things, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, it is not made sin because of how you feel about it. It is made sin because it is contrary to the holiness of a holy God. He is the one who determines what is sin and what isn't. So he said, don't be deceived. The verse we read a little bit ago, 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever transgresseth the law committeth sin, for sin is, not was, sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John was one of the last books to be written in the New Testament, written 60 years after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended up into heaven. 60 years after, he writes to remind the church, God's definition for sin is still the same. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we are to be holy in all manner of conversation because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Written in the book of Leviticus. Same standard for his people today that he had back then. Not in order to go to heaven, but because you're going to heaven. Don't be deceived about sin. It is something still to be shunned. Still to be left out of our lives because he did not die for us to save us to continue to live in sin, but to save us to set us free from sin and the power of sin. Romans chapter 6. Let me give you a third thing. We're not to be deceived about salvation. We're not to be deceived about sin. We're not to be deceived about ourselves. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice, beginning in verse 16, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Man can get so proud of his ability to reason that he actually become a fool in his reasoning. As a matter of fact, that's what Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Man gets too proud of his own abilities, and he thinks he has a right through his reasoning to disobey God. He covers this, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapters 8 through 10, about eating meat offered in sacrifice to idols. They had come away with a neat explanation as to why it was all right for them to eat meat offered to idols. When God strictly forbade it in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit forbade it in Acts chapter 15, and he forbids it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But whenever you're your reasoning gets so good that you undo the Word of God. Your reasoning is faulty. Don't deceive yourself. Sin is still sin, no matter how cute that somebody may get with the words, whether they be a preacher or a layman. In this particular passage, these people were divided over preachers. That's next week. We're going to have a lot of preachers here. We're going to have different styles of preachers. We're going to have some that are loud and bombastic. We're going to have some that are very eloquent. Then we got a bunch of people in between, all of that. We got some with loud voices and some with other soft voices. Brother Turner doesn't preach real loud. But you get the message. Isn't that right? Brother Turner's just as down home can be. And Brother Arthur's even homelier than that. Now don't you tell him I said that. I'm just kidding about that. But listen to me. These people were divided over who their favorite preacher was. See, these were the kind of people, oh, Paul's preaching tonight, I'm going tonight. Somebody said, I'm not going tonight, I don't want to hear Brother Paul. I'm not going to hear Apollos. Apollos stirs me up, man, I don't want to hear him. I'm not going over there and hear Cephas. I don't like him. He's braggadocious. I don't like him at all. And they thought somehow they were spiritual because of who they liked as preachers. Brother, what I want is the truth. I don't care what package it comes in, as long as it comes the truth. I want a man to just preach the truth, to say, God said it. This is what it means. It means exactly what it says. Now, he tells these people that it's God who builds this church, that Christ is the foundation of the church, verses 11 and 12. 13 through 15, he tells them that their works will be tried by fire, and that's the fire of God. And then verses 16 and 17, he says the church is the temple of God. He says, ye are the temple of God. Now, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, he'll mention the body. But here he's doing it in the plural. When he says ye, he's talking about ye, the people of the church. Together, you are the temple of God. You better be careful how you act in God's church. But here's the point. In all of this, the guideline has to be the Word of God and not the men. Psalm 118, verses 18 and 19. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. Men make mistakes. God makes no mistakes. Men will get confused. God's never been confused. God has it straight. And God wrote it not to the theologian. He wrote it to his saints. Whether they have a third grade education, or whether they have 3 degrees beyond college. He wrote it for God's people to understand what he says. To think somehow you've got to read after some doctor who knows all the Greek and all the Hebrew, knows what all the words are, knows what the different cases are and the different genders are and all that kind of stuff. You've got to learn from him in order to know your Bible. That's nonsense. God wrote it for his people. So read it. Don't play with it. Don't give it a private interpretation. Just believe that he wrote exactly what he meant. When we read the book of 1 Corinthians, he wrote it to the church of God at Corinth. And I believe that when Timothy or Titus, either one, stood up there and read it to them, that they were meant to understand everything he was saying to them. They didn't have to compare it to all the books of the Old Testament, and they didn't have to compare it to the books of the New Testament that hadn't been written yet. They were to get it, and if they were paying attention, it was one long rebuke from chapter 1 through chapter 15. And then in chapter 16, he takes up an offering from them. But don't you ever get to the place where you think somehow you are so spiritual that it's all right for you to disobey God. That you are so spiritual that you've got a corner on what God really said. You know, we become with our Bible a lot like the networks are with the politicians. Politician will get up and he'll give a 20-minute speech, and then the network will spend the next 2 hours telling you what he said. And you're sitting there thinking, now he didn't say all that. I heard what he said. But they've got to tell you 2 hours. That what they're telling you is 2 hours of what they wanted him to say. Or they're hoping he said. Listen to me. Just get in the book. Find out what God says in the book. For instance, the world will say, trust your own heart. The scripture says, the fool that trusteth in his own heart. People would say, well, you got to take care of your family first. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Now, I know that you've got Planned Parenthood and you've got a lot of these radio commentators today that think it's terrible if you spank your kids. And yet God says, he that spareth the rod hateth the son. He that loveth him chasteneth him many times.
Bible says, thou shalt beat him with a rod, shall save, deliver his soul from hell. Amen. Let not thy soul spare first crying. Amen. But that's so cruel. To who? You like what's going on in the school systems today? With the drugs and the beating and the bullying and all that? Come from a bunch of homes that never chastened their kids. Came from a bunch of homes that listened to Dr. Spock instead of and Planned Parenthood instead of reading their Bible and listening to old-time Bible preaching. I believe with all my heart exactly what the psalmist said. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. God's right about everything, he said. He said, man, you're quack. Well, I'll tell you, I like the sound of that quack. God's never failed. God's always right. Even Dr. Spock came along and said that he was responsible for the destruction of a whole generation of Americans. I'm not talking about Star Trek Spock either, by the way. That's all a lot of people know today. So I don't think you ought to push your religion off on others. And yet Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who are you going to listen to? Well, I can't talk. Then get rid of your cell phone. Don't you tell me you can't talk and you got to say, what do you got to tell? Well, I got that to text. What are you texting? Gospel? Can you imagine going that? I can't talk. So you've got a cell phone, give me a number and I'll text this message to you. Who does that? You don't do that. It's one thing if you're mute. Dear friend, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't be deceived. God's word's right. I said, but we're in a different day today. But he's the same God. Man has the same need. That same need is salvation. And we're told to go. Let me give you another thing concerning man's suppositions. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. And with this one, I'll close. I had another one, but I'm going to close after this one. Chapter 2, notice beginning in verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. When he gives the warning in this passage, he says, beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil has the idea of ravaging. It's like when an opposing army would go into a town and would just take everything valuable from that town. He says, beware, because there are people through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, will spoil you. Whether it's Robert Schuller with his possibility thinking, with his book, The New Reformation, that says nobody's a sinner, that sin is telling somebody they're a sinner. That your problem is not sin, your problem is low self-esteem. I'm sorry, he's exactly who the Scripture was talking about. Amen. Well, do you believe Muslims are going to heaven? Well, I don't want to say anything negative. We're not about that. We're about positive. We're about Jesus. And yet Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe. Jesus said a lot of negative things. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to say a bunch of negative things. You're going to have to expose error. You're going to have to stand for truth. Don't you be led astray by this watered-down type of Christianity that stands for nothing. We've become a hedonistic society today. Nobody knows how to have a proper work ethic. Nobody knows how to put God first over ball. We're all about ball, basketball, football, baseball. Man, we're all about ball. We know how to play. We know how to spend a lot of time on prayer. So our kids have pictures of our sports stars. Why? I'll tell you what. Here's our sports stars right there. Say, who are those people anyway? Those are missionary families out of Madison Baptist Church. Every one of them. We thank God for them. They're the ones I look up to. They're the ones I look at and say, thank God. Now listen, I'm not trusting them for my salvation, but I appreciate their surrender and service for God, whatever country they're in. That's who I look to. These sports stars, yeah, get paid $5 million or $20 million to play on Sunday. I'd rather be in the house of God on Sunday. Really? Yeah, exactly. I got news for you. Jesus died for the church. He didn't die for the ball team. Ephesians 5:25. He died for the church.
We think it's all right just to miss. After all, look at the great testimony we can. You have a great testimony? Throw it all away to serve God. Just serve God. Put God first in your life. Don't be deceived. Now, the last one, which you can look at on your own, is concerning the second coming in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Don't be deceived. Just like all those people that got all with that Harold Camping mess about Jesus is coming back in July, and then he predicted November 21st. It's still like, don't be deceived. Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. Don't be deceived. People are so easily deceived. But the one thing you better not be deceived about, number one, is salvation. Do you know if your heart were to stop beating right now, you'd go to heaven? I didn't ask if you were a member of this church. I guarantee you there are people that are members of Madison Baptist Church who are going to die and go to hell because they've never been saved. They lied to people to say they were saved, but they've never been saved. Came forward and signed a card, but they never really put their faith and trust in Jesus. You see, you can go to hell from a church pew as well as from a bar stool. Do you understand that? You've got to have Christ as your Savior. You say, but I don't do things other people do. You can die and go to hell like that. The Pharisees did. Don't be deceived. Take God at His truth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus. I love You today. I thank You, Father, for this opportunity to proclaim the truth of Your Word. Now, Lord, You know every individual here. You know who is saved and You know who's lost. You know who's been born again according to the Scripture and who's just religious. And I pray today You convict people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And for those without Christ, I pray they'd come to Jesus Christ and be saved today. I pray, Heavenly Father, for believers today. It's amazing to me how many believers get deceived about things that they ought to have settled. Lord, please deal with our hearts today. Save the lost. May God's people get right with You. And we'll thank You, Father, for what You do in every life and every heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name.